Then in the U.S., you know, after my degree, I went to work for GE, and I have been interested in space-type work, but mostly at that time you still had to have citizenship before you could do that, and I had a green card but I didn't have a citizenship yet. And GE had an R&D going on in their mobile communications field, which I thought was a good area, so I worked there for a couple of years. And then I got calls back from my old university. The old school had been upgraded instead of being part of the university system and having only a bachelor's degree, they became a full-fledged university and they were going to have master's courses and ultimately PhD courses. And they said, we need you to come back and put that on a good solid footing. So I went back there.
Now, where was this?
In Lahore.
Lahore.
Yeah, in 64, I went back and I became department chairman for electrical engineering in a new university, which was the old school upgraded. But as a department chair, as you know, you have more administrative work and less research work. And also, because it was new, they hadn't got any real research started. Only a few faculty members were being still prepared to go abroad and get degree and master's and PhDs and come back. So, one of the things I found out was that I spent most of my time in meetings with the vice chancellor or the registrar and so on, and I didn't especially enjoy that. Also, we had a lot of exercises to write up new proposals for equipment and so on, which would come to the UN or some other. You know, we used to have treaties, Pakistan and U.S. aid program and the CENTO and CETO and I don't know what else. So we used to get some money from there, but it was a slow process. In the meantime, one of my old professors at Kansas State University, he had moved from New Mexico to Kansas, and he said, if you're interested, you could come over and teach here. But I was interested in going there for 3 months, just keep refreshed. But he said, no, if you come here, you have to be a whole year. I can't do all the paperwork for the 3 months. So we ended up just staying on. And after that, since I was interested in the space work, I asked RCA Space Center, applied there, and got accepted. They were just starting here in New Jersey, you know, near Princeton,
mm-hmm.
Hightstown.
Right.
It was a center established in 65 or 66. So I joined them in 66 and stayed with them 2.5 years. The thing that brought me to NASA though was that while working at RCA, most of the work there was meteorological satellites and there were some communication satellite studies. And one of the studies was the orbiting data relay network. They had given two contracts from NASA Goddard, one to us and one to, I think, Lockheed. And we had a very good team there at New Jersey. Two of those guys later on moved over to NASA. One was Dick Marston, who is nowadays still a member of our several committees. He's not on the board now, AES Society. And he's a old MIT graduate, he's retired also now. And a couple other people similarly came to NASA headquarters and started working there. The thing was that what we did, that orbiting data relay network study, got accepted most of those recommendations by NASA, and they then later on started building this, which is nowadays the Tracking and Data Relay Network, TDRS. So it's, I had some sort of a association with that program from before. Now some NASA guys got to know me, I got to know some of them, we came there, gave presentations and so forth, the light started. But in the meantime, COMSAT had been established a few years before. They were doing state-of-the-art work, just like the Bell system, Bell Labs did for AT&T. And so I interviewed with them, and another of your old MIT Lincoln Lab guys was at that time head of a particular group called System Analysis Lab, Systems Lab. And he interviewed me and brought me in as a manager for the one of his branches, System Analysis Lab. But they were going to build it up gradually and so on, we were starting off.